As I walked through the door, I sensed His presence, and I knew this was the place where love abounds. For this is the temple Jehovah God abides here. We are standing in His presence on a holy ground. We are standing on a holy ground. I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on a holy ground. Oh, I feel the Lord in this place. Woo! In His presence, there is joy beyond measure. And at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. Listen, if you have a need, I know He has the answer. Just reach out and claim it. Child, you're standing on a holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on a holy ground. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on a holy ground. Oh, we are standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence on a holy ground. We are standing on a holy ground. Do you feel the Lord in this place? Hallelujah, hallelujah.
On a hill far away, stood. shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross
opportunity to come bring your tithe offering to the Lord. There's no reason taking up an offering ought to stop the moving of God. This is just as much an act of praise as raising your hand is when you're obeying God. Amen. That's right. So praise God in your money this morning. Woo! I ain't never thought about it like that. That's good stuff. When you obey God, you are worshiping the Lord. Is that right? Amen. So when you bring your money, you are in the act of worshiping the Lord by obeying His word. So you bring your tithe to the Lord, and the Lord will bless you for it. Come on, listen. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I
fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
It may look, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Come on, sing it. It may look,
like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded
by you.
Why? Because this is how I fight my battles.
And this is how I fight my battles.
Oh, I feel the Lord in this place.
And this is how I fight my battles.
And this is how I fight my battles.
Oh,
it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm
surrounded.
Come on, sing it now.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Oh, it may look
like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
And this is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. Who you are.
don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. And that is who you are. And that is who you are. And that is who you are.
Amen. Amen.
And he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord
and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one
who will never fail.
He will never fail.
Oh, I trust in God,
my Savior.
Father, who you are.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
Because you are
perfect in all of your ways.
You are
perfect in all of your ways.
You are
perfect in all of your ways. To us.
And you are
perfect.
He's got a way, and I don't know, I just feel like someone is struggling with knowing where to go. You don't know how you're going to come out of this. You know, it's hard to trust. It's hard to trust, but what I've learned through, you know, this song selection is that he's got a way. He's a way maker. I can trust in God, but that means giving it to him. So let's just lean in this morning. Let's if you believe he's a way maker, let me see a hand. If you believe that he's got your life in the palm of his hand, let me see your hand. So why can't we trust him? Why can't we believe that he is a way maker? So this song says he's got a way. It says you may not see what's around the corner. You may not know the next move, but he's got a way. He's already got it figured out. So quit trying to do it. Quit trying to figure it out on your own. So let's sing this together if you believe it. He's got a way.
When you're down and out and feel like hope is gone, friends can't be found and you're standing there alone, you say I'm at the end of my rope. Oh, just hold on tight, there's something you should know. He's got a way of making beauty from brokenness. He's got a way of breaking chains of hopelessness. When you feel like giving up, cause the road you're on is rough, just remember at the end of the day, he's got a way. So don't ever quit, just hold on to faith. I promise it won't be more than you can take. Oh, I can't count the days he's brought me through. You would be amazed the things I him do. He's got a way of making beauty from brokenness. He's got a way of breaking chains of hopelessness. When you feel like giving up, 'cause the road you're on is rough, just remember at the end of the day, just hold on, He's got a way. Stand and be strong, He's got a way. It won't be long, He's got a way. Got away. He's got away. He's got away. He's got away of making beauty from brokenness. He's got a way of breaking chains of hopelessness. When you feel like giving up, 'cause the road you're on is rough, just remember at the end of the day. Listen now. When you feel like giving up, 'cause the road you're on is rough, just remember at the end of the day, He's got a way. He's got a way. Amen. Do you believe that? Oh, don't say it out of obligation. Do you believe that? He's got a way. And you know what I have learned more times than not? It's not the way I think. Children, you are dismissed. Amen. You can go to children's church. Amen. So thankful for the presence of the Lord in this place. Amen. Been here really even before we started practicing. God was just in this place. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Is that on, Brother Jamie? No? Can't hear? Can hear? Okay. It's on. Amen. Amen. I want to read a card from Sister Jessica. Amen. She was with us a few weeks ago. We had a powerful move of God in the altars. Amen. That morning. Dear Level Ground Fellowship, thank you for your generous financial support and your prayers. I enjoyed being in service with you all so much. Thank you for your lovely accommodations and for your friendship. Love and appreciate you all, Jessica. Amen. I've got a few more prayer cards up here for Jessica. If anybody didn't get one when she was here and you would like one, I have got it in the console of my truck, and every time I get in my truck, I see it and pray for her. Amen. I love that girl. She is, I say girl, she's a grown woman, but she was a girl, a little bitty girl when I first met her. Amen. And we have a special place in our heart for her. Amen. So glad God is doing a work for her. Amen. I'll never forget, years ago, she was in a bad way. Things were going wrong in her life, not of her own making. And I'm going to tie this in today. She was in a jail, put there by men, not men, but man, and the church. She was in a jail. And I think she would call that also. Because of things that had happened in her house, in her life, they told her she could not be used anymore. Because of decisions of somebody else that affected her life, she's in a position now to where the church we used to go to just kind of pushes you to a corner. And they don't say this, listen to me, but they give you the impression you ought to be just happy going to heaven. And I believe that. You ought to be happy going to heaven. But that ought not all you ought to be happy for. You ought to be happy for the opportunity to work for Jesus. Win souls. Because the worst sinner that ever was is called to win souls. Did you hear me? The worst sinner that ever lived that gave their heart to God is called to win souls. Now your platform may change. I agree with that. I don't have a problem with that. But your calling doesn't. And everybody in here is called to make disciples. Oh, yeah, you look at me like, yeah, you're the preacher. No, you're the disciple maker. And I'm not trying to shirk my responsibility. You know me. I love talking to people about souls. There's nothing I enjoy more than winning souls. But I'm supposed to shepherd the sheep. The sheep are supposed to go get sheep. Yeah, sheep begat sheep. When's the last time you won a sheep? That's not what I'm preaching on today. But I wanted to bring that in because Jessica is doing the will of God now. She had to move states 3 times to get away from man's opinions. Boy, howdy. She had to join an organization she used to think were all sinners. Amen. Hey, we've all been wrong at some time or another. When you're young, you just do what you're told. You do what you're taught. When you get older, you get to thinking, maybe that ain't right. Yeah. Biggest eye-opener, I know this ain't going to set well with the parents, but the biggest eye-opener I ever had in my life before I got saved was that my parents did things the way they wanted to, not the way I needed to. Whew, I have got your attention now. They better not rebel against it. They won't while they're under your house. But when they're out from under your house, your say-so's over. And they got to figure it out for themselves. And believe it or not, because they didn't have the background growing up you did, they'll probably look at things different than you do. Tough for me, man. It was tough. Bless God. My girls got married and started having to listen to their husband. Devils. You see what I'm saying? They're not my responsibility anymore. I mean, I'm still responsible for them. I mean, whatever they need, I'm going to do it. But their husbands are responsible for their souls now. That was tough for me because I like being responsible for them. I enjoyed having my girls at home. I already did. Boy, you are looking at me like I've lost my mind. I'm telling you. One of the hardest lessons I ever learned was to what I'm going to preach on today. Let go. Sister Jamie Lynn had no idea what I was going to preach when she put those songs together. No idea what I was. In fact, I knew what I was feeling, but I didn't know what I was going to preach when she sent the words to all, when she sent the songs to us. God will make a way, but you've got to let go of the way. Whew. Hey, I know everybody just said, amen. And you're struggling with it right now. You know how I know that? Because I'm struggling with it. There ain't a person in here that's good at letting go. Sure enough, things you really care about. Now, I'll be honest with you. I let go a long time. When I got married, I let go of picking where we're going to eat. I don't care. Honest truth. Wherever my wife wants to go because she's hungry for something, I'll find something to eat there. I ate collard greens and turkey dip the other day. I hate collard greens. I don't even like to be in the house when they're being cooked. Amen. I don't like them. That collard green and turkey dip was the best I'd ever had. It was delicious. And my wife said, oh, I'm going to try that. And I thought to myself, yeah, you go ahead. I'll get me something else. And so I did. I got fried pickles. Hallelujah. I wasn't even hungry until now. But she said, you got to try this. I promise you, you'll like it. And because I trust her, listen to me, to know what I like. You hear that? I said, okay, I'll try it. Man, I ate more of it than she did. And my pickles. But that's beside the point. I said that to say this. God knows what you like. The Bible said He will give you, if you will commit your ways unto Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. The problem is, you're not committing. You commit to a certain point, and then you stop because it's going to cost you something. You know what it's going to cost you? Oh, man, I am on it right now. You, and everybody, don't nobody go to the bathroom right now. Everybody in here needs to hear what I'm going to say. You are willing to commit to a point, but when it starts hurting, when the commitment, woo, when the commitment starts to cost you something, then it's just easy to back up where you've always backed up to. And that's the reason you can't get past where you've always been. Because the commitment's going to hurt you. It's going to, but He said if you'll do it, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Why haven't you seen what you really want to see? Because you ain't got committed enough. I know, boy, I'm on it now. Some of y'all are wishing we'd have sung some more. I feel that in my spirit. Amen. I want to preach to you very familiar scripture, but I saw it different this week than I've ever seen it before. Amen. Brother Jamie, put that up. Amen. Acts chapter 12, very familiar scripture. Amen. The church is so new here. The church has just been born, amen, by the Holy Spirit. And God is doing a great work. And Paul the Apostle, who was not among the original disciples, but became the one of the greatest disciples Jesus ever had. Now, I said that for this reason. Your mom and dad may have raised you in church, and boy, you may really feel like they are something. And so that's your bar. That's what you've set your bar to. Why would you stop there? Why would you just be an okay church member? Well, my grandma was a prayer, but, you know, and my mom and dad, they're good people. Shoot past good people. You gotta, man, and if that hurts you, parents, that your children want to do better than you, shame on you. You ought to pray through. Because there ain't nothing in my life I want more than for my kids to do better than I'm doing. I'm trying to set a foundation for them to springboard off of. Amen. I didn't have that. Amen. I'm not bragging. I'm not poor, man. I'm not saying that. I am a first generation Christian. Everybody in front of, behind me were devils. So I, not only am I the first Christian person who tried to do right, I hadn't always been perfect. I've never been perfect, but I'm also the first preacher. I'm also the first pastor. I'm also the first evangelist. I'm also the first missionary in my family ever. So I didn't have somebody to go to and say, hey, tell me how I need to do this. You know how I got it? Through prayer and fasting. Now, I don't mean, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying to be hard-headed or mean, but that's the reason I'm settled on a lot of stuff I'm settled on, because when I got it, I got it. I didn't get it from the preacher. I got it from God. Amen. I got it from the Word of God. This is the thing you do. You hear from the Spirit, and then you check with the Word. If it don't line up with the Word, it was just pizza. Come on. You ate too much beans the night before. Amen. And I've had people come to me lately with dreams that I knew were God's will. God gave me the interpretation to it. But I have had people also come to me and say, hey, God told me and I knew it was not God. Because it don't line up with their word. You know what? You are not more special than Paul. You may feel like you have got a word when it is not in the dictionary. Come on. I'm not against words. I know what God, I feel like today's a word. There's some of you in this building right now that I pray will get a hold of what I'm going to preach to you, because it'll change your life, if you will. It will absolutely flip the script on what God wants to do in your life from here on out. It's amazing. This is something we don't understand. Amen. We learn, we grow, we grow, we grow. But every level takes new growth. That's why Paul said, I have not attained. I ain't got all I need. I ain't got everything where I need to be. I need to do better. Peter said, I am growing in grace. So sometimes God wants to take you somewhere you're not comfortable with. Why? Because he's trying to teach you something new. So he brings situations in your life to make you uncomfortable here, so you will move to here. Woo! If God didn't slam the door sometimes on you, you'd stay in the hall. Come on. You wouldn't even swap rooms because you're comfortable in this room. You fought to get here. You good here. God don't want you to stay there. It's time to move on. Time to do better. Amen. Some of you are still living last year's blessings. Some of you are living last century's blessings. Oh, man, I can tell you about what God did when I was a teenager. What's he done for you yesterday? There's the problem. You're not willing. You know why? Because you're holding on to it. I know, because there ain't nobody in here any worse with change than I am. God told me at the beginning of the year, for me, I'm fixing to change a lot of things in your life. And I said, no, I like 25. It's the hardest year I ever had, but I like 25 because I made it through it. Don't come at me with no 26 change and stuff. Come on. I know y'all are good, obedient kids. You'll lie about something else too, won't you? Amen. We're all just kids trying to make it through this, not understanding what tomorrow is going to hold, and you're not supposed to. That's what faith is all about. Amen. So let me read the scripture to you. Amen. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. It is the will of God for some people to suffer even unto death. James was a righteous man. James, you know who we're talking about, right? The brother John. He was as saved as John was, but it was his path to die. I'm going to let that settle in on you, because that ain't what the Western church teaches. Well, when you get saved, God will work everything out. You did roses, nothing but a tiptoe through the tulips. That ain't scriptural. Sometimes people have to die for the cause of the Christ. This is what I know. James was strong enough to do it. So when you start going through something, don't say, why me, God? He already covered the why me. He lets you do it because you can handle it through his help, through his grace, through his mercy. James, the brother of John, with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, man, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to... I've had people ridicule me on this next word because I've never pronounced it correctly. Hear me? Almost 40 years of preaching, I'm going to pronounce it correctly today. Now watch me not be able to. Quaternions. I always say something else. Quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, about this time of the year, to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Man, Lord, how? It's not your will for me to be in prison. Peter was kept in prison. For why? Why? What did he must have messed up at? For preaching. Doing what God called him to do. Doing what God anointed him to do. Doing what God insisted on him doing. He got put in prison. Prayer was made for him made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Not just his hands, not just his feet, but his hands and his feet. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, slapped him, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Huh. Doesn't say he fell off his feet. Come on, keep reading with me. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did, and he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." I mean, I could preach right there, but I won't. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He thought he'd dreaming the whole time. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them automatically before automatic garage doors. And opened unto them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street, one street, got a block away, in other words, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And Peter was come to, and when Peter came, was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation," read this, "and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." He didn't only lead me, he didn't only lead me out from Herod, but everything the church thought might happen. Oh, I need that settled in on you. Because as a church, we have ways we like things to go. And God has a way of scrambling eggs on us. You ask for over easy, you get scrambled. Why? Because over easy is your plans. God always had scrambled in mind. Amen. There ain't a person in here that if you've been serving the Lord very long, your life looks like scrambled eggs. Because God has a way of making things better than they used to be. And sometimes, the old saying is, sometimes you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. Lord, my wife would be proud of me for all the food references I'm making. Amen. But you know what? What we want is we want a perfect egg life. We want it to look the yellow just right, the white just right, and just a little burnt around the edges. That's beautiful, man. That's perfect. And you know what? Several years ago, I didn't realize this until I started hanging around my cousins again about 5 or 6 years ago and got close to some of them. There is a weird tradition in the Martin family that I did not know of. We like eggs as a whole, but fried egg especially, sunny side up with the yellow runny and the white done, over medium, what I call that. They call it sunny side, whatever. And what they do is that it's a perfect egg on a plate, and then they take a knife and a fork and cut it up. With a knife and a fork. That's ridiculous. But a two-armed person will be ridiculous. Thought I'd gig you two-armed people a little. And that's what they do. And it is so noisy at breakfast around our house. Clink, 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 clink. Everybody in the Martin family, especially the men, the women are bad about it too, but especially the men, they all take a fork and a knife. I mean, eggs aren't that hard. Why would you cut them up with a knife? You better not. I'll lose all confidence in you. I'm telling you, I don't trust people that use a knife on them. Oh, brother, no. Oh, no. Here's what I'm saying. That egg looked good. That egg's going to taste the same. But we do it the way we want it. If you wanted it all jacked up, why didn't we just scramble it? Going to taste the same. It ain't going to look the same. It's the same egg. Some of y'all think it ain't going to taste the same because you got yellow and white, but it's the same egg. Here's what I want to tell you. When you got that stuck in your mind the way you want your egg, God's going to come in and scramble that thing. Your life is going to be better. It's going to be, the thing that bugs me about my cousins doing that is so much work. Man, I honestly love eggs. I love eggs to the point I'll eat them whole. I mean, just slide the thing right off in my mouth. It ain't no big deal to me. I'll eat
I like eggs. And I question every one of them, why do you do that? You know what their word is? Because that's the way we've always done it. That's the way our dad did it. I grew up watching him do it. That's why I do it that way. And then I got to thinking, you know what? I remember my dad doing that. And it never made sense to me, even when I had both arms. You're looking at me now and saying, yeah, but you can't do it that way now because you only got one. I didn't do it that way when I had both arms. I had better sense then. No reflection. Sorry. I'll back up. It looks like I'm throwing that right at you. So if you want God's will, then you got to let go of the knife. You got to let go of the menu. God knows what you want. You got to quit ordering, telling God what you want, how you want it done. Amen. I want a powerful ministry, but I do not want to have to suffer. Guess what? It don't work that way. Amen. I want you to think about what I'm going to tell you, and I want you to file this. File this way back wherever you need to. When you see somebody who can tell you stories about things they've gone through, when you see somebody you just feel's got something different about them, amen. When you see somebody that you always hear about hears from the Lord, and you're tempted to say, boy, that's what I want. You don't know what that costs them. Amen. As I was praying this week, amen, and I'm telling you, God downloaded stuff in me this week I've never had before. The Lord spoke to me and said, tell them to always count the cost of the anointing, because it's going to cost you what more than you can even imagine. And you got to be willing to do whatever it takes to be anointed. Amen. There, and I know my story is the only reason I'm telling it. I'm not special. I'm nothing. I'm telling you, I hope that you will be challenged by my life to want to do more, to want to go further, to want to do better than I do. Amen. Because there's more, so much more that you can do than I ever could. But you've got to be willing to be crushed. Now, this brought me to a very interesting thing in my prayer life because, amen, when we pick up this portion of Scripture, Peter knows that James had just died. Peter knows that Herod is so an egomaniac that because the people loved him killing James, he's going to kill Peter. Peter's a bigger mouth than James was. Peter is a bigger celebrity, if I could say it that way, than James would. Everybody had heard Peter preach, so if I take him out, that'll get me some brownie points with the people. And Peter knew. This wasn't the first time Peter had been in prison. One of the first times he's in jail. He knew what jail was about. He knew this ain't no good. But this is the first time he's ever been surrounded by soldiers. This is the first time he's ever been chained on his hands and feet. Why do you say hands and feet? Why would they put two chains on his arms? That don't even make sense, does it? I mean, one chain can hold him. So where else would they put it? Around his neck? Didn't say he took it off. Might have been around his neck. I say hands and feet. That's just because if I was going to put two chains on somebody, that's where I'd put them. And when you want to preach it, how you want to preach it, you preach it. But I'm preaching today on hands and feet. Amen. And so he's laying there. Can you imagine how many light sleepers do we have in the building? I'm not, but raise your hand. One, two, three. Okay. And a couple of hair moves. I mean, Jackson just put his hand through his hair, so I thought he was saying he's a light sleeper, but he was just going, I'm just cool. Amen. And so, can you imagine how it would be to try to sleep with chains on? Now, that's bad enough. But the Bible said he was sleeping between two soldiers. Now, let me let you in on the male psyche a little. There ain't nothing more uncomfortable for me than to try to sleep in the bed with another guy. It just ain't, and if you're okay with that, please let me know, because I am not sleeping in the bed with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, I am a homophobe. I can tell you straight up, I am a homophobe. I'm so homophobic, I won't hardly drink homogenized milk. And so now, not only has he got chains on his arms and his feet, but he's sleeping between two guys that want to kill him. Whoo! You talking about ultimate uncomfortable. And yet when the angel steps in that cell, the Bible said he is asleep. So much that the angel had to hit him to wake him up. You read that, didn't you? Amen. I don't know if the angel kicked his foot or popped him on the face or pushed him. I don't know. But no matter how he did, he had to have jarred him. And you know that done something for the chains. Right? Noise, man. But it still, he had to shake him to wake him up. Why? Was Peter out of his mind? Oh, no. Peter was more in his mind than he'd ever been in his life. You know why? Because he trusted God. You can give a lot of different excuses and try to make it, but I believe it's as plain and simple as he was ready to die, he knew he was going to die, and he trusted God with his life. And so when we pick Peter up, when the angel picked Peter up, he was asleep. And so I want to preach today. I really messed up this title. The first one I sent to Brother Jamie was Wake Up and Go to Sleep. Because that's my mindset. But actually, it ought to be go to sleep and wake up. Because when you have trust in God, you can go to sleep. And then later on, I'll hit on this later, but later on it said, the Bible said he came to himself. He woke up. He realized he wasn't dreaming. I've been awake the whole time. Amen. So let me get into this right quick. Go to sleep. Very good, Brother Jamie. He is the man. Amen. Let me get into this right quick, because if we're not careful, what we do is we think the Bible was written by some really good authors, and this is really just to encourage us. But actually, the Bible was written because of the things you're going to have to go through in your life that directly correlate. Amen. There are some of you right now that feel like you're in a prison. You don't have answers. You feel like you are needing God to move in such a way you don't know how to do it. And I'm going to give you the greatest advice you could ever have. Go to sleep. Because when you quit worrying about it, God will start working it out. What we do as human beings, we feel like the more we worry about it, the more God worries about it. And that is not the way it works. The more you sleep on it, the more God works it out. It don't worry God. He knows you're coming out. Oh, wait a minute. Did you hear that? He knows you're coming out. He knows how you're coming out. And you're just struggling. You don't think. Go to sleep. Trust God. Let God have it. Amen. I understand the need. Amen. In fact, last night, this is the craziest thing. I am not a light sleeper, but I don't sleep well. Amen. And I guess that, if you understand, you understand. If you know, you know. But anyway, I don't sleep well ever, hardly ever. I slept better last night than I have ever. I don't remember the last time I slept that good. I didn't get that many hours, but I slept wonderful. My alarm never goes off. This is crazy. I set my alarm and inevitably I'm going to wake up 10 or 15 minutes before the alarm goes off. My system, crazy. It went off and had been going off for 3 minutes before I heard it. And I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe that's the first time ever in my life I slept 3 minutes through an alarm. I'm talking about I slept better last night. It's a God thing. You don't know me well enough to know that, but it is absolutely a God thing. And the reason is because before I went to bed, I prayed through over this. Because I need this. Amen. Oh, I'm going to tell you, and it's going to upset the hell, and I don't care. Amen. We've been going through some things, several things. You know, I've turned in prayer requests. Amen. Not between me and my wife, but our life. Amen. We've got this God is just helping us, but we've got so much going and different things we need to do and different places we need to be and blah, 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 blah. And if you didn't hear that, blah. And so I have just been fretting over this and that. How's that going to work, Lord? What are we going to do here? What are we going to do here? And last night on the way home from Texarkana, I drove from Dallas to Texarkana, dropped Tammy off, and then drove on in. Amen. And I know some of y'all hate those late nights, Brother Jamie. I know you do, because I call him and wear him out. But anyway, as I was coming home, I said, Lord, how can I preach this when I'm struggling with this? And this is the way it's been the last several months. Every message I preach to you, I have already had to work out or trying to work out in my own life. And the Lord said this to me as I'm coming down the road, man, no songs, no music, just driving and praying. And God said, trust me. Boy, don't that sound easy? That sounds like something we ought to be doing anyway, doesn't it? And yet when we're faced with the new, y'all going to have to hold on here a minute. I got to work through this. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Amen. There are some of you that are sitting under the sound of my voice right now that you have been struggling in your mind with things. Amen. And some of you have been struggling for years with things that you can't figure out how it's going to work out. Amen. And today I come to tell you, trust God with it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That's what Proverbs tells us. Proverbs is also a place where it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. That brother, that sister, that husband, that wife, that mama, that daddy, those kids. My God. You've been trying to... I'm trying to be careful because it's human nature. I'm not down on you. But you've been trying to manipulate the situation because you think you know best. It's time for you to let go. Go to sleep. Trust God. Here's something the enemy tells us. If you let it go, it means you don't care. That's not true. Really, the quicker you can get it in God's hand, the more you care. Because he's the only one that can fix it. He's the only one that can work it out. And I know as a parent, especially with our own kids, I could write you a book. I won't, because your kids are worse than mine. Hallelujah. That was a joke. Man. But that's the way a lot of people feel. I don't. But a lot of people feel that way. Now, don't you mess with my little Johnny and my little Susie. You don't know. I got good kids. And they've been in jail how many times? Hello? Oh, you got quiet on me there. Did they hit too close to home? It's finna get worse. Hallelujah. Because the biggest problem with some of the situations is that you won't let it go. The biggest problem with some of the situations in your life is that you still got your hands on it. The biggest problem, my God of heaven, I feel the Holy Ghost talking to me here. The biggest problem is that until you let it go and let God, it's never going to be what it needs to be in God. Some of you are going to get to heaven and say, God, why didn't this work out? And God's going to say, because of you. Amen. Because you would not simply trust me. Trust me. My God, that went a long way to get to where it needed to be. Amen. If we're not careful, and again, I'm not downplaying you. Please don't misunderstand me. But as human, it's human nature to listen to the enemy about how bad things are going to be if you don't try to fix it. If you don't do your part, you don't have a part. Quit acting like you got a part. Oh man, I feel it. I know I can feel it. I'm the parent. Who you gave them to God? Hypocrite. You gave them to God and now you want it back? Man, I wouldn't be in that position for nothing. Boy, I felt the temperature just drop. You probably ain't going to need that much longer. It's getting cooler in here by the second. Hallelujah. If we're not careful, amen, we really question God. Lord, I don't understand why this ain't getting no better. I come today to tell you why. It's you! You got to let go. That's hard. That's harsh. Brother John, you're just being mean. I'm talking from experience. Because as long as it's in my hands, it can't be in God's hands. How's it going to get better? When it gets in God's hands. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. See, the problem is not that God can't. The problem is that He won't until you let go. Well, why won't God fix it with me holding on to it? Because you'll take credit. Well, it's my superior parenting skills. And you ain't even got no parenting skills. Amen. None of us do. The best you'll ever do as far as parenting skill is do it what the Bible says. Those aren't your words. Those are God's words. So being obedient is the key. But it ain't you. Amen. Somebody told me that not long ago, boy, you got some good kids. And I thought, whoo, I hope you don't never find out no different. Hallelujah. Oh, I know some of y'all got no holy kids. I get it. Mine were devils. Amen. I'm telling you, I speak as a fool. I'm nothing, but I believe my fasting and praying is the only reason my girls are even still alive. And they didn't do nowhere near the stupid stuff I did. I mean, that I know about. Come on, I did my stupid stuff before Facebook. So there is no evidence. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's the reason I don't put stuff like that on Facebook now, because I don't want no evidence. Amen. Brother Sammy, if you're outlive me and somebody at my funeral gets up and says, one time, cut off the mics. Don't listen to none of them old stories. I don't want to hear none of that. Amen. If we're not careful, let me get back to Peter here, because when the angel found Peter, he was so in trusting God that it took him being completely out, a block away from the prison. He went through all them sections out the front gate and a block away before he realized, whoa, dude, this is real. His mind was set to meet Jesus, to die. He trusted God to the point that when God sent deliverance, he didn't even believe it. He thought he was dreaming. You talking about being sold out to the will of God? He was so, Brother Brandon, he was so sold out that it took him getting a block away from the prison to look back and go, dude, this is cool, man. God, you're awesome. I've been okay the other way. I guess you still got work for me to do. And that's where everything changed. Because he realized, as long as I'm breathing, God's got to work for me. It may not be what I thought it would be, because I thought I'd be meeting him. I thought I was headed for heaven. I mean, I'm headed for the boardroom of the glory, and now I'm a block away from it. Man, look here. All right, I gotta go find somebody. But we're so scared of death. Why? If your heart's really sold on Jesus and you're sold out to trust him, how can death scare you? I mean, you can't scare me with heaven. Right? So what's wrong? Well, I want to see my kids grown. I understand that concept. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'd rather go to heaven. I mean, I want to see my... I told Sailor this week, amen, her birthday's in about a month. And I told her this week, she's the only granddaughter, of course. I told her, I said, baby, anything you want for your wedding, it don't matter. It don't matter. You want to go to Europe? We'll go to Europe. It don't matter. And I know you sitting there going, hey, you're just spoiling her. Absolutely. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to do it. And she know what she said? Pop, could you buy me a Barbie? I offered to take her to Europe, brother. I mean, I told her, whatever you want. She said, can you get me a Barbie with some accessories? And you know what I thought when after I got off the phone with her? Of course, I told her, absolutely, darling, whatever Barbie you want, I don't care. After I hung up, I thought, you know, how many times do we do God that way? God's got resources. You ain't going to bankrupt heaven. You know what? Here's a problem with the American church. Well, God, if you really love me, give me a Mercedes. That's not how God proves his love. Giving you things in love, that's just extra blessings. And there's nothing wrong with having a Mercedes. Anybody here's got one, I'd love to ride with it. Me and James, Me and James caddied around in the Mercedes for a couple times there. I mean, it was cool. Top down, two old guys in his car, and everybody going, man, they got too much money. That ain't right. Anyway, if we're not careful, we do God the same way. But what we do is we ask for material things, and that's the blessing. Man, sometimes it's getting you out of prison. Sometimes it's knocking the chains off. Now, there's a lot of different areas here I want to touch on right quick, and I'm going to hit them in hurry. Paul, the Bible never says that the chains on his feet came off. So did he show up at Rhoda's house with chains on his feet? I don't know. I mean, he could walk. I don't know. Did they all fall off at once? I don't know. It said they fell off his hands. Didn't say he fell off his feet. Did the angel pick him up and haul him out of there? Oh, just maybe that's why he thought he was dreaming, because he floated out. I mean, there's a lot of ideas you can kick around here. Nothing wrong with it. Here's my idea. I believe the chain stayed on until he came to himself. When he realized God did this, boom. And the reason I say that is because sometimes we need some evidence. Sometimes we need some evidence. Amy, I'm trying not to look at you. I want to cry every time I look at you, girl. Sometimes we need people around us need to see what God's done in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. So I wonder if people standing around didn't see him float out of there. This is just John Martin, 1 and 1, no big deal. Amen. Float out of there. And then when he said, "Whoa, God, this is you," he came to himself. The chains fell off and he decided he better go do something for God. You know what you're doing right now? Amen. God's in the process of knocking chains off of you. Amen. You ain't come to yourself yet. Because when you come to yourself, your whole life changes. You realize, first of all, you remember what God did. Amen. Here's something I want you to remember. Amen. I want you to think about, why did God bring you here to drop you, brother? That don't even make sense. God brought you this far. Think back on what He's already done. Those are the chains He's already took off. And the chains you're wearing today, the chains you walked in here today, but the prison you walk in, the things that are going wrong in your life, the people that are messing with your head, the situations that are messing with your head, those are the chains God's going to knock off, because you're going to come to yourself today. You're going to realize God's God. God's always been God. He's a big God. My God of heaven. He's bigger than your problem ever thought about being. Amen. Too many times we talk to Him about our problem when we ought to be talking to our problem about how big our God is. And if we're not careful, we walk in and we've got comfortable with the chains. Because when you're floating, your chains don't matter. I'm telling you, the Lord downloaded some stuff in me this week. When you're floating, the chains don't matter. You can't even feel them. But when you touch down, you feel the chains again. You know what the Lord showed me? Man, that's what happens when you come to church. You come, you feel the presence of God, and then you're floating. And then Monday morning, you touch back down, and those chains rattle a little. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's time for those chains to break. Come to yourself. Come to yourself today. Realize God's got you here for a reason. You're not here. You're not just floating along. Woo! Amen. You're not just floating through life. You're not just going to go through life and hit a few bumps every now. God's got a victorious life for you, brother. Amen. You got still got things to do. You got people to win. You got things to preach. You got places to go. So it's time for you to come to your senses. Really, it's come to your sense. Why? Because you know what He's done for you before. Think about where He's brought you from. Why would He have brought you out of that pit? Just to let you stand on the edge of the pit. Man, I ain't never seen this before. But He took him a block away from prison so he wouldn't think even about going back. Woo! Amen. My God, have mercy. I know. Amen. The Bible said, amen. I said a block. The Bible said one street. Amen. So you can make that however you want to. I'm putting it in King John version. But anyway, amen. That's beside the point. Amen. Here's the deal. Amen. So many times he delivers us out of the prison, but because we hadn't come to ourselves, we still hear chains. We're just comfortable standing on the side of the pit. And that's not what God called you to do. I need you to hear this. God did not call you to be a pit stander. He called you out of the pit. He called you to make disciples. Now, some of us, Amy, some of us, it is God's will for us to go back to the edge every now and then to help some of them coming out. Amen. I can't tell you the times I've had this week, brother. I'm telling you, I've been so uncomfortable. God, I can't even tell you about this without you not really understanding, but God put me in so many positions this week I was miserable in. Not miserable in Him, miserable in them. Why? Because there's somebody there. Man, I'm going to tell you, and some of you ain't going to understand this. I'm standing in the hospital room with the Holy Holies. I mean, the people I used to run with. Most of them, maybe every one of them in there, my brother included, don't even think I'm saved. That's true. They don't think I'm right with God at all. Various reasons, but the biggest reason is I was wearing a beard. Here's the Spanish. El estúpido frijol grande gordo. Sorry, brother. That makes Brother Manuel crazy because it's not really words. I'm just throwing a bunch of words together. But anyway, big, fat, stupid bean. There you go. Don't make sense. I know. And I'm standing with these people, and one of the guys, I try to explain this. My brother goes to our old church, and so he doesn't think I'm saved. But he actually works for a guy who is two steps holier than him. Yeah, they don't wear neckties. The women, of course, don't ever cut their hair, but they wear their hair up in a bun. I mean, Amish, get out. They're not, but they look it. And so when we step off of the elevator, the 10th floor elevator, she is sitting, and as the Lord is my witness, it freaked me out. This is exactly what happened. She's sitting in the waiting room right open. As I opened the door, I looked right in her eyes, and she went, oh. Number one, because me and my brother look a little bit alike. Number two, because I had a beard. She just left my brother's room, and he didn't. So she was wondering how my brother got on that elevator without her knowing. So it shocked her. She went, oh, and immediately embarrassed her, so she looked down. So I walked over and I said, hey, how are you? Touched her on the shoulder, which I was a mistake. I never, why would I don't know, but I did. She jumped up and took off running down the hallway. Honest truth. My wife, it was so weird. My wife said, what just happened? She just ran by us to Corey's room, ran in there and told them we were on our way. Red coats are coming. Well, anyway. She felt like she had a Paul Revere spirit. Anyway, she got in there. So when I got there, they were already ready for the center. And they lit in on me. Whatever. That part don't bother me. But his boss, who is a holy, holy, was fixing to drive back to Oklahoma. And I don't mean that in disrespect. I'm just trying to get you to understand. So forgive me if you think that's being vindictive. I'm not at all. So, but anyway, as they were fixing to leave, I said, hey, let's pray. And they all went, I said, you need prayer. He's just leave. Let's pray. Because I sucked every bit of air out of that room when I said, let's pray. And I mean, it was all like the air. I know you think I'm exaggerating, but it was honest. They all went, and I said, well, I'm going to pray. If y'all want to, you can join me. How about that? Because, man, I done put them all on the spot. How dare you ask me to pray when you can't pray? You know, that's what the attitude. And as the Lord is my witness, when I took his hand, Brother Sammy, I took my brother's hand just like this right here. The Holy Ghost hit me. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit moved in that room, and before I ever started praying, some of the Holy Holies started speaking in tongues. God was in that place, and there was nothing they could do to deny it. Because when they shout, it's got to be God. Come on. I'm not being vindictive. I'm being honest. I started praying, and the Holy Ghost started speaking through me. I'm talking about in a way, there was no way I could have planned it. It was absolutely God. It was a God. And before it was all over with, everybody in there was crying. The Holy Ghost had failed. Amen. My wife is so uncomfortable. She's standing over in the corner. My wife and my sister Jan, both of them, neither one of them, they were both going, oh God, don't let this break out right here, Lord Jesus. Anyway, we didn't have revival except for those two stopping us. But anyway, I was praying. And as I got through, I looked up, and his boss reached over and took my hand and said, my God, that was unreal. As I got ready to leave, they went on and left. As I got ready to leave, my brother leaned up. He said, Johnny, I don't know what happened, but I felt God in his place. Not that, no, I'm not me. It wasn't me. It was not me. But I told God on the way over there, my wife and the sister walked up with me. I told them, I said, I want God to do something today that is undeniably God. Undeniably Him. When we got ready to leave, my brother said, Johnny, I don't know what happened. Thank you for coming and praying. I got home in the car, and I just started bawling. My wife thought something was wrong. Thought somebody hurt me. Man, I was just rejoicing in the Lord. You know what? The night before that, I told God, I said, Lord, I don't feel comfortable around these people. Can I just call him? Can I text him? God said, nope, you need to go. And I said, but Lord, I ain't got nothing to prove to them. I was trying to get spiritual now. I ain't got nothing to prove to them. And God said, but I do. Man, the easiest thing to have done would have been to stay awake. God said, go sleep. Trust me. So I can't tell you the times this week I've been put in that position. Uncomfortable, man. I was hearing chains rattle. I was literally laying between two soldiers, man, and I was so uncomfortable. You know what God said? Exactly what he's saying to you today. Trust me. You know you're here today. I'm talking to you. Please listen to what I'm going to say. You know that I don't know your situation. You're here today. You're a visitor. You hadn't come a whole lot. You know I don't know your situation, but God does. And God knew you'd be here today when I'm supposed to tell you, trust him. Go to sleep. So you can wake up. And do what God called you to do. Well, I got this against me. Go to sleep. Well, my wife ain't doing it. My husband ain't. My kids ain't. Go to sleep. My job ain't. Go to sleep. You know the funniest thing about jobs is you have this mentality. When I can afford it, I'll help people. You never will help people. Because you don't do things because you can afford it. You do things because God told you to. Amen. Let me finish the story and I'll close. Three or four weeks ago, money has been tight. I'm not bad mouthing. I'm just telling you, we've had a lot of stuff going on. The trips down to Houston it's been awesome. We'd do it again right now. We're going to this week, but money's been tight. Really, really, really tight. Three or four weeks ago, the Lord told me in praying one day, he said, give extra tithe. I said, oh. Lord, you know I pay tithes. Lord, you know I do what I'm supposed to do. And the Lord said, do you want you want the blessing that comes with that, or do you want an over and abundant blessing? And I said, now wait a minute, God, I preach against that. I preach against doing things just to get stuff from you. And the Lord said, this is different. I'm testing you this time. Not your people. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa. I'm the preacher now. You ain't supposed to put me in the fire. Can I hear an amen? You know I'm joking. I said, okay, God. And I gave it. Didn't ask my wife because I knew she wouldn't like it. Come on, shout with me now. And I'm not being facetious. I'm being honest. There's a reason the Bible calls the ladies the weaker vessel. And it's not because they're not more valuable. They're more valuable. Oh, that hurt you, men? Your wife's so much more valuable than you are. But you're the leader. That's why you're supposed to be the servant. We'll get to you on that Father's Day. So I gave it. Did exactly what the Lord told me to do. And within just a few hours, my wife called, hey, this money come out of our account. What's up with that? I said, what does it say? She said, it says tithes. I said, that's what it is. She said, but we, exactly what I told God. We pay tithes. We always pay over and above. I said, I get it. Just hang on and trust God. That's what God told me. And that's what I told him. I said, God told me to trust him. I want you to trust me and him. She said, okay, click. The next day, I don't never do this, but I'm telling you, I had a $7,000 check come in that we didn't know nothing about. Now, you can say that would have happened anyway. Let me tell you how crazy the check was. It was an oil and gas check from my dad-in-law who died in 16. That nobody saw that coming. In fact, the check showed up before the explanation letter. Now that sounds about right, but the next day, and you're sitting there and you're all, oh, he's just trying to put me under. I'm telling you, this didn't have nothing to do with you. This was all about me trusting God. I don't believe it. I've never had that happen. That's because you ain't never obeyed God till it hurt. I actually, this is not good business, and I know that. I gave our last sum of money. That's why my wife was checking the account, because we were running. And she was going to see if she could do this or do that. I told her, go ahead and do it. Oh, we ain't got the money if you gave it. I said, go ahead and do it. Obey God. Boy, it's quiet in here. I'm telling you, the reason I got stories like this is because I have went to sleep. And I'm not saying I won't need to go to sleep tonight. I'll need to trust God again tonight. That's the way that works. But this time, I got it right. Next time, may not. I hope I do. But I may not. But this time, I did it the way God wanted, Sister Amy. I almost tried all your names, but I'm not going to do that until I can get them down. Somebody in this building right now, you're standing at a crossroad. What do I need to do? Trust God. Money, time, getting up earlier and praying, fasting more. I'm telling you, and I'm not telling you what I'm going to tell you to discourage you. Please don't misunderstand me. I have been in more mind battles this year than ever in my life. And it's because January 1, I placed my heart on the potter's wheel. And I said, God, this year is going to be a changer for me. I don't care what I got to do. I don't care how many meals I got to miss. I don't care who I need to talk to. And boy, did he hear that prayer. Because he has flat put me in some uncomfortable positions. And I know you're sitting there thinking, well, you talk all the time. Why would that make... When you know somebody don't want to hear it, family. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that to tell you this. The more you trust, the more you get. That's hard. Because the mindset is this, okay, so I'll trust so I can get. No. You trust because that's what God calls you to do. That's what God's called speaking of you. requesting of you. And it's not about money. If you think that you missed the point altogether. I'm just telling you what God's done in my life in the last month. If we're not careful, what we do is we get used to being where we are. Because I'm used to carrying this load. God's wanting you to lay that down. He's got another load for you, but He's wanting to release the one you got right now. You've carried it too long. Those chains got to come off. You're not bound. You can raise your hands, but your feet are still bound because you're not going where you need to go. What He wants to do is He wants you to go to sleep so He can wake you up. Are you tracking with me? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So this is the way I want to close. I felt like the Lord spoke to me and told me to tell you we need to have an altar call. We need to have an altar call where you visibly show the world, the devil, and God that you're ready to go to sleep. You want to go to sleep so that He can wake you up and put you on the path. So what we're going to do is we're going to have an altar call. While I've been preaching, the Lord spoke to you. The Lord impressed you. He's talking to you. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, some of the things I've said ain't got nothing to do with me. God directly to your heart. No, ain't a doubt in my mind about that. Here's the last thing I'm going to tell you that He spoke to me in the middle of the night one night this week. I've never heard this before. Some of us have fought so long that we think it's time. Hold on a minute. Let me get this. Some of us have fought so long that we just want to quit. God don't want you to quit. He wants you to rest. There's a world, there's 180 degree difference. Because resting is giving it to Him. Resting is saying, okay, Lord, I trust You. Quitting is throwing up your hands because you don't think you can do any better. When God's got more for you. I know my nature is if there's something that I can't do, I will walk away from it and never think about it again. I'm talking about in the physical. But in the spiritual, nowhere does God ever give you a chance to quit. Nowhere does God ever give you an off ramp. Nowhere does God ever say, okay, you can be done. He does say, give it to me. Rest. Brother Jamie, amen. Put up Hebrews, my God. Hebrews 4:9. Amen. Oh, my God, have mercy. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he also hath seen from his own works as God did from His. Verse 10. Oh, that is verse 10, 19. Amen. So what I'm asking you to do right now is don't throw up your hands and defeat. Don't even entertain the thought of quitting. That's the enemy telling you got to quit. God's saying today, rest. Go to sleep. Give it to Him. I felt something change right there. Because the easiest thing in the world to do is say, I'm done, Lord. Throw in the towel. You know what? I have thrown the towel in so many times, and God always throws it right back at me. You know why? Because quitting's not an option. Resting is the option that God wants you to choose. It's not about stopping. It's about giving. Give it to God. Every head bowed. Let's all stand, please. I'm not going to hold you long.